I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jim Larranaga is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. By the way, Heat fans, your seat to the Heat play-in and playoffs is waiting. You can visit heat.com/postseason for tickets. Jim Larranaga was the head coach at UM, Miami. Yep. Men's basketball team for many glorious seasons. He is an inductee in the UM Sports Hall of Fame. Friend of the show, joins us every Thursday. We look forward to it. Hello, Coach.
Hello, Hawk. How you doing?
I'm good.
Crowder's got a doing lot. Good.
Yeah, Crowder's we've got a lot of stuff
right
to
now,
get to.
He's in a smile. What?
Yeah.
We got to get into it, Coach. He's crying in basketball.
We have a lot of stuff to get to. What if you had a player like Luka last night who was getting emotional during warm-ups, and admittedly a very emotional scene for him? Crowder lacking a lot of emotion, as you may be able to tell, being a friend of the program for years. Would you be at all concerned as a head coach if your star or one of your stars seemed to be overwhelmed with emotion before a game? And by the way, spoiler alert, it didn't matter. He put up 45 points. So if you were concerned, you didn't need to be.
Yeah, and I said, yes, I would be concerned before the game. But once the game began, all that was behind him, and he just started to play basketball. He had an incredible game, and the Lakers, you know, they're going into the playoffs, I think, with the right frame of mind. Luka's made the adjustment to the Lakers. LeBron is happy to have him on board. We'll see how they do, but I think they're in good position. And last night, I was shocked that he was crying and that emotional. But, you know, people are who they are. Some people are very emotional. Some people never show any emotion.
And do you have to know that, Coach? As a coach, like, some guys go out there and they're all amped up, and then if you see a guy that's usually calm and he's all amped up, do you have to manage, you know, 15 guys pregame?
I have an expression, and I use it all the time, learn the learner. So what does it mean? My job as a coach is to learn the guys I'm working with. They're the learners, right? So I'm trying to learn them. If they're very emotional, how do I help them stay calm? If they're very unemotional, how do I raise their level of emotion to get them to play as hard as they're capable of? I'm going to use the Boston Celtics back in 2008 as an example. I brought in an expert in the emotion. Okay, he called it the EA level, the emotional, I forget what the A is, emotional something, arousal, emotional arousal level. So he said with Kevin Garnett, he was real emotional, always just up and jacked up. And so if he got too jacked up, he was no good. If he was too down, he was no good. But when he was right with his emotional state, he was tremendous, maybe the best big man in the league. Ray Allen was the opposite. He was cool, calm, and collected. His emotional arousal level, you didn't want him to get too high because then he might start missing shots, shooting them too long. or you definitely didn't want him down low where he felt like he was down in the dumps. That's no good either. The reason the Celtics were so great and Doc Rivers led them to a world championship is because both of those guys played at their EA level almost every single night. They were totally in control of their emotions, even though their emotions were entirely different to their personalities.
All right, well, let me extrapolate that out to what we saw with Tyler Hero last night. I don't know if there's a correlation or not, but we talked about this at the beginning of the show, and people have talked about it since last night. So there's this sequence in the Heat game. The Heat are down five. There's about 40 seconds left in the game. Tyler Hero steals the ball from Kobe White. He can have an uncontested layup that'll cut the lead to three, and they'll need a stop, and it's a one-possession game. He instead chooses to pull up and shoot a three, and he misses it, and the Bulls turn it into a three from Matas Buzelis, and now it's an eight-point lead with 30 seconds to go. Tell us your thoughts of what happened with Tyler Hero last night.
My first thought is, how the heck do you miss an easy shot like that? That's the kind of three that's like a layup. You don't miss shot. If Steph Curry did that, would you question it? Or Damian Lillard or James Harden?
No.
Would you just say, oh, dang, they missed? And I think in Tyler's case, he just made the three before it. He's in total rhythm. There's no one in front of him. You say he can get the layup. Now, if that were me as the player, I go for the layup because I believe in my three, but I'm more believe in my layup. But in Tyler's case, he probably thought this is like a layup. I'm wide open. I got an easy one. The tough part for the coach is not the missed shot. It's the response to the missed shot where you give up the three. And that's the problem with missing. When you miss, if you don't get back defensively, you don't set your defense, and the other team gets an open three, which the Bulls did, they make the open three, and now it's under 40 seconds. It was 42 seconds when we missed. Now it's under 40 seconds when they hit. Now we have so little time to come back from an eight-point deficit. But Tyler, you know, what do you have? The F-30? How many do you have?
Yeah.
Like 24 or 30, right?
30.
Yeah. And so, you know, he's thinking to himself, I just made one. I'm going to make this one. This is an easy shot for me. If it was Duncan Robinson, I would have preferred he shoot the three.
Right.
I don't think he's that good at making layups. So,
but if you're the coach, then let's say it's the timeout or post game, you're saying to Tyler, "Hey, the lesson there. You're not saying, hey, you got to take that layup and cut it to one possession. Your coaching methodology after that is, hey, you got to get back on D if you miss that shot.
Well, you got to get back on D whether you make it or miss it." The whole key, and why you watch in the NCAA tournament, teams come from behind, is because the mindset changes. So a player that's very, very aggressive, playing great, getting his team a lead of 6, 8, 10, 12 points, and then now all of a sudden you're only up one or two or three, a one-possession, two-possession game, and you're thinking now more conservatively, I just want the clock to run. Let them foul me. I know I can make free throws. The mindset, that's why when we talk about mental toughness, that's what's required of players at the end of game, to make the tough decisions work. And that Tyler Hero had a tough decision. Do I go for the layup and cut the lead to three, or do I bury this three, cut the lead to two? Now we set our defense, one possession now, the pressure is all on the Bulls. So, unfortunately for the Heat, it didn't work in their favor. But you turn around, don't they play the Bulls again?
Maybe in the play-in tournament.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I thought they played the Bulls again. But, okay.
So, no, just two games left. Right, Solana? Just Washington. Washington and New Orleans.
No, they play. Yeah, New Orleans tomorrow, Washington Sunday at home.
And then done for the regular season. And they open up playoffs in Wednesday?
They'll play, that 9-10 play-in matchup would be Wednesday, and if they win,
Wednesday. They'd
play Friday, the loser of the 7-8.
Yeah. The NBA playoffs, I mean, the difference in the play-in is it's like the NCAA tournament. Yeah, one and done.
Mm-hmm.
You lose, you're going home.
Yeah. Hey, Coach Al, it's funny because as fans, we always say this guy is feeling it. He's feeling, oh, he's hot and all that. As a coach, do you ever say, oh, dude's feeling it? Because I felt that way about Walter Clayton Jr. You know, I'm a Gator, so we just won the championship.
Yeah. But as you a coach, were enjoying like, that, huh?
Oh, I had a good time, Coach. But as a coach, you'd be like, hey, back to Shane Larkin, all the great players you've coached. Do you ever be like, oh, he's feeling it? Just go play ball.
Well, let's go back to game situations. Let's forget the situation Tyler Hero was in, and let's move forward into let's say he made that shot. You're now only down two. You got to get a stop, and you get the stop. Now you're coming down, and now let's say there's only 10 seconds to play. Do you go for the two, the tie, and try to put it into overtime? Do you drive the ball to the basket trying to get fouled and leave it up to the refs? Or do you go for an open three like Tyler had? Then the players have to deliver. That it all comes down to the players making the mentally tough decisions. The coach can give you the plan. He can give you the perfect game plan. But the players have to execute. They have to make the shots. You look at the end of the Duke game where they miss a free throw. They miss a little turnaround jumper. And they lose. Florida made all the big plays. Walter Clayton Jr., he was the Steph Curry, like Steph Curry in the Olympics. He making all the big shots, the big threes, putting people to sleep, you know. These players are unbelievable. And then Houston, the guy goes up. He made the big shot to get him in the finals. He goes up, and Walter Clayton flies at him to try to block the shot, and he causes basically what turned into a turnover. So, I love basketball. I love watching it, whether it's high school, college, the pros, you know, because you have some of these what I call reality TV. You just don't know what to expect, and the endings are always unbelievable.
And Coach, with the Gators, with Coach Golden. Is he that good? They were down in the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, the Final Four, and the championship game. They were down double digits three out of the four games. In the second half, they come back, and they end up winning. Is that, like to your point, is that on the players tightening up or Golden figuring it out?
Okay, the first thing is you got to give Coach Golden a lot of credit for keeping his players focused not on the score, but on the game. There's a big difference. If you look up at the score and say, oh, we're behind, we're not going to win this, you get yourself in a negative. But if you're focused on the game, your coach is telling you, hey, one possession at a time, let's get a stop, and then let's get a bucket, and just keep plugging away. And as you cut into the lead, the pressure all shifts from you being behind to your opponent feeling your footsteps. And so I thought Florida did a sensational job of that. I think Coach Golden did a fantastic job of keeping his players in the process, not playing the score, but playing the game. Force a turnover, get a rebound, get a bucket, all right? Because he guys like the Houston, their last four possessions, I'm sure Kelvin Sampson was like, what just happened to us?
Yep. Right?
We just turned the ball over needlessly. But that's what happens in games. The pressure continues to shift back and forth from team to team.
By the way, if you're not following Jim Larrañaga on social media, you should be, because he does a lot of these hypotheticals that we throw at him. He gives you, you know, here's the situation. What would you do? And he gives you an A, B, or C. But all the situations that he gives you, this is on Twitter, Instagram, he's actually been through all of them. A lot of them are fascinating to me, Coach, because I could make a case for A, B, or C, the answers that you give. People are enjoying that. You're enjoying doing this. Obviously, with so many years of coaching experience, you have been faced with just about every situation that a coach could be faced with.
Well, all of those situations are very real. They were either, you know, for me personally, what I had to make a choice with, or friends of mine who are head coaches, and I've enjoyed asking the followers, my followers, hey, if you were the coach, you're sitting in the audience, you're in the crowd, you're thinking, what should a coach do? He should call a timeout. He should do this. He should do that. Well, now I'm giving you a chance to actually express your point of view to me. I'm the coach, and here's the questions. What would you do? Here's A, choose this, B, C. These are three different options that every coach has in these situations. And have you seen my new one yesterday? I already got almost 250,000 hits on my latest post. It's called True Story. I'm telling mini stories online. Did you hear about that?
I didn't see that one.
Oh, you got to go, Hawk, and see it. All you guys, Solana, Crowdy, you got to go. So I told a story, very, very true story, when I was an assistant at Virginia, and we were recruiting four players.
Oh, I did see this. I did see this.
Three
from
New York City, one from upstate New York. And we picked the kids up in New York City, but when we picked the kid up from upstate New York, we knocked on the door, he opens the door, and he had a little dog, family dog, goes running out. And so we had a taxi cab picking him up. So he gets in the cab. And as the cab takes off, it runs over the dog.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for four lines with all the data you need and four free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's four lines for $25 a line plus four free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It hits
That's not
the dog.
Funny. How are you laughing at that? That's not funny.
Wait a minute. The recruit gets out of the cab to comfort the dog, and the dog bites him on the hand and opens up like a 3-inch gash. It's bleeding.
This is not a great recruiting visit.
No. Well, again, you think to yourself, you're a coach. You got to make this decision what to do. So what we did, we told the parents, look, we got the best hand specialist in the country at University of Virginia. We wrapped his hand in a towel. We flew him down. We took the visit. The dog lived, and he came to Virginia. So all's well that ends well.
It's that lifelong question.
So people can follow my story online.
Can you
Kate's
turn
Coachell.
A run-over dog and a dog bite into a positive interaction? And he says yes is the answer.
Coach, settle this debate, because this is going back 2 years. You lose, and sorry to you know, relitigate this, but you lose in the Final Four, the semifinal. FAU loses the same year in the semifinal. I come on the air the next day. I tell Hawk and Crowder, hey, I'd love for there to be a third-place game in the Final Four in the NCAA tournament. The World Cup has a third-place game. The Olympics has a bronze medal game. Why don't we get the opportunity to watch UM, FAU, even if it's not for a national title? And I think it stands now. I would have loved to have seen Cooper Flagg and Auburn and Duke play in a third-place game. Do you agree there should be a third place game in the NCAA tournament?
Well, Solana, there used to be a third place game. Oh. And I was involved at the University of Virginia playing LSU in the very last consolation game. The third place game in 1981, and we beat LSU. But it was the same day that Ronald Reagan got shot. President Reagan was shot that day. And so after the Final Four was over and everybody was reviewing it, they said, you know what? We shouldn't have even played that consolation game.
Right. What are we
doing? Big discussion. That was the last consolation game. Now, if you ask me if I wanted to play 2 years ago and play FAU, are you crazy? No way. It's hard enough. It's hard enough you play on Saturday to get up and play a game that did not have any meaning. That no one cares if you finish third or fourth.
Like you, no, there's no way you can motivate the troops, right? There's no way you can motivate the troops. They're heartbroken. What? They want to be playing in the championship game. Now you're going to somehow get them up for a game that's going to be sparsely attended and doesn't mean anything. It would be impossible, no?
No, it's impossible. Kids don't care. That our Virginia team that won that last consolation game in 1981, there was so much depression in the locker room afterwards. And then on Sunday, we didn't even practice. We just showed up and played the game, and LSU was more down than we were.
Who's less down?
Jim Larrañaga, we love talking to you on Thursdays, and we will do it again next Thursday. The NBA playoffs will have started when we reconvene. So thank you for today. We'll talk to you next week.
Looking forward to it, guys.
There you go, Jim Larrañaga. Make sure you follow him on social media as well, Twitter and Instagram.